Welcome to Hack Your Human Design. I'm Melanie Hill, your host, and I'm here to help you hack your human design so you can stop wasting all your energy hustling and start aligning with who you really are so you can become a magnet to your people and the income you really want. I want you to help more people with more love and more self-trust. If you want to build or scale your business with ease, listen on. Hello, hello. So before I get into the podcast today, I wanted to come to you all real quick and tell you about the amazing show today. And before that, I want to announce that the Hack Your Human Design free quiz and mini course is finally here. It is in the show notes. Go to melaniehillcoaching.com/quiz. Go get it. It's completely free. It is definitely going to change your life, whether you are brand new to human design or just getting started or even advanced. This will help you. There is definitely a little bit for every single type. You have to know your type. So if you don't know your type, go to my website, melaniehillcoaching.com, find out your type, then go back to the site or click the link here and go get it. Go get access to the free quiz and mini course and start leaning in, start learning your human design. It's kind of like a mini human design reading without us actually having to meet. So that's really what I wanted it to be and wanted to create for you. And I want you to have access to getting to know who you are right now today. So I'm super excited about that. It's been in the works for a long time. This is the first week it is out. And next week, so today is December 8th. Next week, I am going to be doing some kind of live call, event, something with everybody that has gotten it by then. So get on it now. That way you can have access to the live event that's going to be happening with everybody. So you can come get all your questions asked, give me feedback, get some coaching, get to know your human design even more. And I'm giving away a free human design reading on the 16th of December. So to anyone that has downloaded it and gone through it, so if you want to get to know it even more, I am sweetening the deal. I am really celebrating this because I've worked on this for a lot of the year. So it's taken a lot to get 5 whole mini courses out and done, and I'm super proud of it. And I really, really hope this helps a lot of people really start to get into their human design. So really excited about that. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this episode before it begins. This is an episode with the lovely Holly Pendergast. She is a manifester. She is one of my best friends. She's a client of mine. We have been through a lot together this past year. It's been so much fun. But in this episode, we go over so many amazing things. I'm going to go over that real quick. But before I do, tomorrow, she is doing this amazing workshop masterclass on how to make your offer super duper juicy, y'all. She's a manifestor. She is the queen of helping you learn how to be yourself and inform so well. She has implemented her human design in the past like 6 months so well. She knows how to help you market and be seen and make your offer so juicy and amazing. Y'all do not want to miss this class. If you are feeling kind of meh or like you don't really know how to like show up online and be excited and make your offer sound super juicy and happy, people just like lining up, they cannot wait to work with you. You really want to get in on this. She is so fabulous. Oh, she's so good at it. So go to the show notes. Her link will be in there. Go sign up for it. It's literally going to be tomorrow on Friday the 9th. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Okay. She offers any kind of replay, I will let you know. Because you really, really, really want access to that. Go follow her on Instagram. She's freaking amazing. So like I said, she's a manifestor. We talk about so many things about like the wound the manifestor has of like being too much. I'm just a lot. Like I'm too bossy. I'm too bold. Like people keep telling me what to do and I don't like it, right? We also talk about how being yourself is the best marketing. You're going to get some of her marketing wisdom here too. You are what sells, not the content. We talk about how her learning her human design has helped set her free to be herself in a really big way. How she has integrated deep rest cycles into her life and it unlocked her creativity in this big explosive way for herself. We talk exactly about how like slowing down to work on resting and receiving increased her income and her energy, exactly how she learned to trust her energy, even in the energy lows. We talk about how she was able to detach her value from time spent working and doing. we really dispel the myths that the more you do, the more you get, and that the more you can like be good, the more you can earn things in life, and how guilt really plays a role in keeping you attached to those myths. We go into like this, my aha moment of the fact that feeling guilt is actually optional and why it's easy to forget that it is optional. We talk about how everything gets to be fun, and the more fun you open up to, the more impact you get to make, the more money you get to make, and the more fun it gets to be. And then we go into something that's really important to me right now, is why sustainability is the new future in your business and the world, and how choosing sustainability in your business creates more fun, enjoyment, and income. And then we leave you with the very first step and how to get to know yourself more, deeper, and what that can create for you in your life. So I'm super stoked about this episode. I think this is the first manifestor I've had on with me, and I can't wait for you to listen in and go get the quiz. It's free. It's a whole mini course. There's a big bonus. It's going to be super fun. Tell me all your thoughts about it. I cannot wait to hear from you about it, and I hope it's helpful. Y'all enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the podcast. So I'm super excited. One of my best friends,
soul sister.
Yes, soul sister, and a colleague and client of mine, Holly Pendergast, is here today. She is such a brilliant manifester. She is so good at helping other people inform. And I'm going to let you kind of take it away and tell everybody exactly what you do.
Okay. So as Melanie mentioned, I'm Holly Pendergast. I'm a business coach. I work a lot with self-concept and helping that be the thing that leads how you create your offers, how you sell, how you market. Because once you better understand yourself, it's so much easier to sell. It just oozes out of your pores and it's like a non-problem. I know so many people have so many hangups around selling, and it's actually a lot more fun than people would like it to seem. I think it's so powerful, and we naturally do it as women all the time. We naturally sell, and I think both of our work helps people be more themselves, which allows them to just take up space in the ways that they're supposed to in their business, in their personal life, everywhere. I think it's essential for personal growth, but also spiritual growth, financial growth. And it can be so fun. It doesn't have to be like so serious as everybody, not everybody, but a lot of people make it out to be all serious and hard.
Well, and I think we do that, right? To like stay away from it.
Yeah, we do. We're like, oh, that's hard and big and scary. Yeah. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you're talking about being like really authentic, right?
Mm-hmm. I have to tell everybody what we just started with. Immediately when I came on this video, I told Melanie, I think my lipstick's a little too bright. And what did you say?
Never.
I was like, never. And I was like, understood. Understand. I understood my coach. I understood the assignment. Thank you.
But we do that, right? It's almost like we apologize for our existence. And and like we are always afraid to be too extra. I know that's that's me. You know, I am afraid to be too extra, but I've been extra my whole life. And, you know, it's just who I am. I think it's kind of part of being a man or a manifester, right? Mm-hmm. You are a lot and you're here to lead and you have a lot of energy and or at least like leadership energy, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, it can kind of be, I think for a woman manifester especially, it can be scary to really step up and be as bold as you know you're here to be. You know, from a young age, I'm sure that that's how a lot, I mean, I know that's a lot of women's story anyway, right? It's like, when I was a kid, I was just so free. Yeah. And then, right? And then mine I learned. Opposite. Oh, really?
Mine was, you're so bossy.
Yes, that too. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what am I supposed to be? I see.
You're like, I'm not here to be told what to do. Solution. Hello?
Yes, it should be done like this. Why are you all slow? And I move very fast and I get shit done fast. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like I was always like, and I just love how you always talk about it being hard as a manifestor woman, because my conditioning is like, shh, be small, stop, you're being a lot, you're too powerful. And I just feel like every time you say that, a little bit of my soul goes, that's right. That's right. That's just who I am. I didn't even choose this for myself. This is how I was made. And when I reject that, when I resist it, I get tired. I get in my head. I don't show up to the world in the ways that I was meant to. I'm hiding. I have anxiety. I got depression. And it's all because I'm stifling myself. And you're always such an advocate for like showing up big and giving other people permission to also do that. And by me being myself. And every time you say that, I'm just like, it's just something in my body knows, yes, that's right. Keep going. You're safe. This is how it's supposed to be. Anything else is BS. And I just love how you talk about human design.
Yeah. Well, tell me a little bit about what we were talking about right before. I was like, oh, I should have hit record already.
I don't remember.
Well, like you said that you kind of were talking about how like being yourself is the best informing.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's the best. I want to say advertising. It's the best advertising for what you sell, especially if you are a life coach, even if you are somebody who's a different kind of creative business. You are the thing that sells, not the content, not the container. It's how you show up that people see something in you and they're like, I want that pink hair. What about her having pink hair? I don't know. I need to know more about this. It's clicking buttons. It's checking her out. It's stalking her Instagram. It's who is she? I want that color lipstick too. Where did you get that?
Right?
I'm going to buy that. This is all selling. And it's like contagious energy is what we are as human beings. And it's who are we attracted to? Who are we repelled by? And how is that a signal of what we need to look at within ourselves? Or is that actually something that we do want? Or is that something that isn't right for us? And really just tapping in, like a constant tap in to see what's right for me? What isn't right for me? What do I want more of? And who can I be? How can I be more me? And use that as like a laser to point out to the world to attract people who are looking for that.
Right. Because I mean, that's what everybody wants to do is just attract their dream clients.
Yes.
Right. And the best way to do that is to be unapologetically you. Right. And just show up and be super authentic. And we say that like it's super easy to do.
Yeah. It's like we don't have decades of conditioning.
Right? Or like drama about
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And it is scary for sure.
It is,
and it's also so freeing. It's also so freeing, and it's where the funnest experiences are, I think, is when you let yourself put your hair down and let loose, or wear the brightest lipstick that you got. Like, it's so freeing. It is hard. It is scary at first. And that's why you have coaches who have gone before, right? Because anytime you're selling something, it's like, you got to do the work first, boo. You can't be all excited about it if you haven't gone first.
Yeah.
Right. So it's always everybody's first job. It's like the cliche client, like you are your first client. It's like you are the first embodiment. So you got to set yourself free first before you can help set others free. You got to learn how to uncage yourself.
Totally. Well, tell me a little bit about how learning your human design helped do that for you.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, my first exposure has only really been you. Actually, somebody else read me my chart, but I wasn't at the point where I could connect to it yet. So the way you led me through it just was very, it came at the right time for me, but it also came at it in the language I could really get behind, because it's so clear that you live this and you know it so well that, the way you explain it, like, just goes straight into my brain. I don't have to like think about it or digest it or logic it in there. It just like goes straight into my soul. And I'm like, yeah, that's right. That's right. Oh yeah. It's like, I forgot, but I already knew that. But somehow the way you explain it to me is like, that's right. Yeah. Okay. That's why I'm being pulled to like show up bigger or more brave or share this truth that I think is kind of controversial. And you have such a, what was the question?
So funny. It's like, how has learning that
Oh,
you're a manifester helped you show up bigger, more authentically, bolder, all those things.
It's so hard to pick one because it really has infiltrated my whole life. It's like my business for sure is like where I think I found it most is like, oh yeah, because I'm public online, to where being powerful, being bold, saying things boldly, being in my energy, my own energy, taking up space in terms of what I want to wear used to feel very scary. And now it feels super fun and expansive, but also understanding like my personal life has really helped me. And it kind of filled in the blanks for me around a lot of my female friendships where I've had friendships in the past where I was too much for them. And that's okay. But I didn't ever really understand why. I was always like, God, why do I always have to be so bossy? God, why do I always have to, you know, say something that's going to fucking make them grow? And that's just like, I can't have small talk. I'm allergic to it. I only go deep. I'm always like, what do you think happens after death? Or what do you think reality is?
A few weeks ago, you're like, how would you spend $1 million?
How over dinner, Melanie.
Over dinner, yes. And I'm like,
if you had $1 million, how would you spend it all? And I'm like, in 1 year, it can't be this.
I love it so
that's
much.
That's the kind
though.
Of shit I'm interested
yeah.
in. Like, you know, that's just where I go. And that's mm-hmm. the only kind of conversation I'm really interested in these days. And the only kind of relationships I care about are really the ones that I could go deep with. I don't got time or interest for anything other than interesting to me.
That's awesome. Well, how do you think that has shown up in your life? Like, what has that affected, do you think, like relationship wise, business wise? I know that's a really open-ended question, but
For sure in my rest cycles. I had this tug of war around, am I a hyper person or am I a lethargic, tired introvert? And the more I learned about, oh, manifestors need deep rest cycles, and in their creative space, they need to have uninterrupted creative flow. Mm-hmm. And now I understand that somebody interrupts me and I get real angry, it's not my fault. I'm just going to blame it on my human design because that's who I am. But also, like, I need thorough rest time, like 9 hours of sleep, like weekends where I'm not thinking about work, even though I really want to, because I get so much play and fun in my work. Mm-hmm. It's like I have to make it mandatory for myself that I don't answer emails, I don't answer messages on my weekends, even though it might feel really fun. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, we aren't doing that. And it really helped me honor and respect that. Like, when it's time to go in, it's time to get quiet. It's not time to hustle. I'm also an action hoe. I love taking action. I love it.
Uh-huh.
But I have to rest. Otherwise, my action is actually not just working against me. It's like, it's
like spinning
useless.
Your wheels. Yeah.
It's depleting. It causes burnout. And I used to think my burnout rest cycles were when I would rest. But then I have to take a longer time resting. Right. It's like come back from burnout and also implement rest. So resting has been a huge thing for me. And creative flow time outside of work has really helped me too, is like really be in that flow state that I love so much and I get lost in. And I do get that from work a lot of the time when I'm like doing a post or I'm getting really creative in a reel or something, it feels like a flow state. But if I overdo that, I'm going to crash. Mm-hmm. And so I know I have to have a rest, full on rest cycle, like in bed.
Yeah.
Bed is my favorite place.
Yeah. The open sacral center really needs to rest before it's burnout, because if there's burnout involved, then just like you said, it's like harder to get to the restful state. It's almost like, oh, I'm like healing from an illness now almost, instead of just taking rest. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It used to be so foreign to me. I used to not know rest was so not a part of my
plan,
my day, my week, my plan. No, it was like, even as a kid, I was like really into dance. And so it was like school, then dance, and then dance on the weekend. And then like Monday's here now, so better get your energy up. And there was like no actual rest cycle. So it felt very weird for me. This year I've had to do a lot of productivity detoxing, I would call it, in very fun ways.
Oh, like what?
Go to a resort and chill for a week. And I was like, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I should be cleaning or something. Should I make a post right now? And nope. Rest. And so felt very uncomfortable to receive those experiences that I created for myself. It's like, no, I plan to have a vacation. Right. And like, I worked hard to create that vacation. And it is like one of those problems that it's like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have that problem? Right. I felt a lot of that guilt.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you still get drunk from champagne. You still get a headache. Still counts.
That's true.
Right. Just because it's champagne from friends doesn't mean that it's not deadly. But you know where I'm going with that, right? It's just like the resting felt hard. The receiving felt hard. And
that's why most people have an intolerance to receiving, right? Is because it takes slowing down to hold, right? You if you're constantly running forward, you're pushing, right? And receiving is a taking, right? It's a leaning back. It's a feminine act, right? The pushing is the masculine act, and that can be deeply uncomfortable. Deeply.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Because
it's really hard.
What happens when you slow down? You have to like feel shit.
Be with yourself.
Even if it's joy. You're still, right? You're not used to feeling like us recovering action hoes, right? Like that is one of the things that human design can really help you do is slow down and create space to receive. Even though it is deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's what we all want. That's what we're all looking for, right? That's what, you know, your clients, my clients all want is to receive, right? More money, more, I was about to say income, same thing, right? More income, more clients, more fun, more joy, right?
Yeah. I think too, I want to add that it helped me trust that my spunky energy will come back.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to be resting forever now. It's like, no, this is the rest portion of the day. Tomorrow, I will probably rejuvenate some kind of energy. And that's okay, too. I think I was so afraid of slowing down because I'm like, it's going to slow everything down. And my momentum is going to halt. And instead of like, no, you get to have all of it. Rest and so much fun, flow, energy, creativity, production, connection, all of it. It's like, you're going to have both. And that felt really good to learn. It's like, that's just how my energy goes.
Yeah. And I think too, you can build trust with your energy when you rest more. Right. Especially because when you do avoid burnout, it's like when you get sick or when you are in burnout, like real burnout, it's like, you forget what it even felt like to feel well. And it feels like you're going to have to rest forever because you feel so dead, you know? Mm-hmm. And when you rest, when you're just like, oh yeah, I'm getting tired, let me rest now. Right. There's so much more flow in the rest as well. Right.
And my high energy cycles are higher.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing that I think is so fun is actually getting better. I'm not actually sacrificing. I'm sacrificing for the, my rest is sacrificing for tomorrow, but it's like, but it makes tomorrow better actually. And I'm no longer negotiating feeling good the way I used to. Now that I know, oh, that's just how my energy flows, is up and then down and then down. It's not a problem actually.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So thank you for that.
Yeah. I'm like, tell us all how you did that, how you leaned into that, because I know like a lot of open sacrals, it's really hard to trust that energy lull.
Let me see how I do that. What's something that I can explain? like how I trust more.
How did you develop the trust? Was it just doing it and seeing what happened? Or
how did I develop the trust? I think I just always had you in my ear, or like we would chat every now and then, and you would give me a little something, like a sentence. It's usually like one fucking sentence, and I'm like, okay, I got it. It's like a meal for me. And I'm like, yes, I'll use this. And that's kind of how I take all my teachings, is I take all my teachings really fucking seriously. Mm-hmm. And then I go implement them, and I'm like, I remember like everything you tell me. I remember everything because I'm like, this is gold information about myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think that's something that's very normal for me, but my mentors or my coaches have told me before, like, you like do all the homework. And I'm like, obviously, but I don't think everybody does all the homework. I'm like, you told me this and I implemented it and now I'm back for more. And that's like in a 24
Well, that's a
hour.
Manifestor strength for sure.
I like
okay.
to take everything
so
in.
You took it seriously. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I take it all so seriously, and I like to try it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure at some point, I don't remember when our first meeting was, but I'm sure you told me that, and I probably followed a couple like social media things, and I surround myself with it. That's what I do. I surround myself with it, and I'm like, this is going to help me implement. So whatever I could do to incorporate it into my new normal, which is like social media I use every day, so I'm going to see it every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little reminder every day. And I'm always eavesdropping on my brain. So when it's saying like, you could do one more thing, but I'm already tired, I have to be like, my rest zone is taking over now. So it's like, turn off the lights, lock the door. I'm like a brick and mortar. I'm like, the closed sign is on. So I'm leaving the building. I will not be here to hustle.
I really like that visual.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Of like, I'm literally like clocking out, leaving the building.
Yes.
That's a really good way
to
think about it.
I am no longer accessible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gone to go rest. But I'll be back tomorrow. That's what it feels like.
That's really important, because I think a lot of people that leave the corporate situation have a really hard time with not having a physical separation.
Oh my gosh, I feel, well, I've actually never worked for corporate. I've only really only worked for myself or like a yoga studio here and there. But I've never been in that hustle. But because I'm working from home, like pretty much all my professional life, I felt like there literally is no separation. It's my home. So there's always my, in when I was doing a lot more photography, there's like my camera, and then there's editing on this very computer that I now use for coaching. So it's like, it's always around me, and I really have to be firm with my own boundaries around, that's not happening today. We're not even going in that little room. We're not turning on the computer, like really conscious of what I'm looking at. And it is hard, and I'm definitely not perfect about it, but really creating as many, like, I create obstacles for myself, so it makes it harder for me to break them.
That's good though, you know, and I think for any manifestor listening, that's important, is because work is such a joy. And even a manifesting generator, I would say, or really any type that gets such joy out of their work, it can be hard to not continue to want to do and give and create, because it feels really good. But to be able to differentiate, and what I'm seeing too is like this growth in your self-worth that had to happen for you to be able to put yourself first in this way. And I'm a little curious about your thoughts on that. Like, what do you think helped you put you number one, and just like believing in you enough to take your energy that seriously?
Okay, this is such a good question, because it directly relates to how much money I was able to receive this year. So back in the day, I used to think taking action will help me outrun my anxiety. But the anxiety was really distrust with money. It was really just, and I still have anxiety, don't get me wrong, but I have so much more awareness now around my relationship with money because that was driving the hustle. It's like, you got to make sure you're on. You got to make sure you're taking action. Are you in their minds? Do they remember you? Like, it was in this constant, like, hamster wheel way of take action, 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 action. And that is constant use of energy. I had to get out of the hamster wheel and rest, which means I had to heal my relationship with money and really trust that there's more. There's more money. There's more opportunities. I have plenty of time. I can always make an offer tomorrow. I don't have to do this right now when I'm dead tired. And so really sitting down, laying down in that receivership, like physically lay down, sit down, but also energetically be open and rest and stop. And look at the trees and go outside and go swimming if you can. Get yourself in a new area where you can enjoy new surroundings. And when you do that, of course, you come home to your home and you're like, wow, this tree grew. Wow, oh my gosh, this home that I have is so beautiful and special. And my cats are so much cuter than I remembered when you come back. So it was a lot of things. I think the trust in the rest and the trust in the money directly went together. Because totally. If they didn't, I would have just been depleting the energy, which actually prevented money from coming in because I was so energetically full with thoughts and exhaustion in my brain that, like, I'm sure I showed up as like a tired marketer.
Well, and when you think that the amount that you do is equal to the amount of money you can make, you're always going to tie money to your productivity, right? Yeah. So taking rest will always, right? You have to switch that correlation somehow. I think that's another thing that you're talking about here is like changing this whole idea that if I stop doing, I'll stop making money, right? It's like tying your productivity to your worth. It's like, no, I'm worthy of receiving even when I'm not productive, even when I'm not actually taking action right now, I can still make money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The self-worth piece was definitely something that I was trying to, and it's all unconscious because I've done so much work on, I am worthy now. I don't even have to say I'm worthy. I just am. I don't have to convince myself, and really knowing that and feeling it is, I think, what helped me actually rest and stop attaching it to the action that I thought was going to bring me more money or consults or whatever. So I think they're directly tied. Because you don't really think like, oh, I need to take more action to make more money to increase my self-worth.
No, nobody stops and has those thoughts.
Yeah, those aren't like, it's not like that. But then you get coaching and you're like, oh, shit, I'm doing it again.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize I was doing that, but I'm totally doing that. So, yeah, really understanding that helps you detach it and be like, oh, there's plenty of time. There's a lot more money coming in my future, probably more than I think, probably more than I can create a goal around.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like always trying to expect more than what I can even comprehend to expect, which is a skill in and of itself that you can actually only do when you're resting.
Yeah. Like real rest.
Real rest.
Mm-hmm.
I think I had to have that experience of real rest to be like, oh, this is what everyone was talking about when they were saying that they get better ideas when they rest. Yes. Now I know.
Especially the manifestor. Mm-hmm.
Now I believe it. I kind of had to burn out to get there.
That is the gift of burnout.
Mm-hmm.
I will say.
It's like, there's no other choice.
It's like, oh, I can't get up today. Okay.
Yeah. Like, no, but
I have to lay here
it.
And feel. I have to. Yeah. Well, and I think that's why we're, like you said, you were outrunning your anxiety. You're trying to, right? And I think we all have something we're trying to outrun, some kind of feeling that we don't want to feel, some kind of discomfort that is left when we rest. And I think that discomfort usually is, well, what are we worth if we're just laying here? Like, right? It's a worthiness thing. And it's an unconscious just like you said, it's a very unconscious programmed thing. Mm-hmm. But like, I remember years ago, it's years ago now, cause I don't really go through this anymore because I've done so much work around it too, but like having COVID years ago, mm-hmm. and me like consciously having to do the work of like, it's okay that you're in bed today and can't get up. Mm-hmm. And I had COVID. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, you're like, there's, you know, no, the thing
that
choice.
Was like killing thousands of people, yeah. like hundreds of thousands of people, right? Like, I don't even know how many. And mm-hmm. and I'm like having to tell myself it's okay that I'm not getting out of bed mm-hmm. to go sweep the floor.
Yeah.
Like,
it's always something like that too.
What? Right. But yeah. that's like how kind of like deep it goes. Mm-hmm. I think in our subconscious is like me having to remember I'm worthy enough to lay there when I'm sick, you know? Means,
yeah.
Yeah. And like, I deserve to heal.
Yeah, I think it's actually, it's a pretending that you're not human thing. Because humans have to rest. Our bodies sleep for like 8 hours, 9 hours. Where mm-hmm. I say nine because that's like where mine is. I know some people are like
mine's
seven, six. So if we're believing, oh no, I'm not somebody who has to rest. I'm somebody who doesn't have to do that. It's like you're pretending like you're not human. But because you're like in this action state of like, I am a robot. Another thought I used to have too is I will rest when I've made enough money.
Oh yeah.
Because resting is a luxury and I have bills to pay. You don't understand. I'm an entrepreneur. And if I'm not showing
we
up,
we don't
to
get
work,
to rest.
That's an unpaid day off. Like that was my thought. Mm-hmm. That's an unpaid day off. And I use that against myself to be like, I will rest later when I have money.
Right.
And the amount of money wasn't even defined, but it was just like probably a millionaire. So maybe. If I don't work myself to death before I get there, then I can rest. Just make no sense.
Yeah. But I mean, I think that really is the default for so many. And it's interesting that mm-hmm. you never worked in corporate because that's literally the corporate. Mm. But it's instilled in us from such a young age. And I'm sure, mm-hmm. you know, our caregiver mm-hmm. schools. Uh-huh. Totally. Right. That's what they're preparing you for, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah. It's just that whole thing that like, oh, yeah, one day you'll get your rest. One day you'll get to enjoy your life.
Like once you can retire.
Mm-hmm. Like I remember my first, like the first person I started learning from when I was an entrepreneur and was helping me build my business. It was so hustly, but it's exactly what I wanted then. Right. Mm-hmm. So like I got what I wanted,
yeah.
But it was quite, you know, not what I would ever do now. But I remember at one point when this coach was talking about how like she was trying to become irrelevant in her business. And it was her goal was to become less relevant and less relevant. Like, and I think that was the wording. And at one point I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you build this business and then not want to be in it?
Yeah.
Ever again. It's like, that's the goal is like, how can I build this huge business and then have everybody else run it for me so I never have to work again? And I'm like, oh, that means you don't like your business.
Yeah.
Right. It's not, I mean, it doesn't seem sustainable. Now, of course, people can do that, right? Mm-hmm. People build businesses and then sell them all the time or have everybody else run them for them. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just the same. It's the same kind of thing. Right. It's like, how can I build this thing? I'm going to put in 60, 80 hours a week, as much as it takes until, you know, maybe in 10 years, I'll finally be able to work 4 hours a week, maybe. Right. It's like this weird goal.
Yeah. And too, it's like, how do you know you're going to live
that
10 years?
Yeah. True.
But my brain always goes morbid. I always go morbid. That's just because, like, in my family, my dad died when I was really young. And so I really learned this is all temporary. You don't know about next year, boo. It's today. Today's the day. And I think I made it quote. I don't know whose quote this is or if I made it up somehow, but there's no dress rehearsal.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
There's no dress rehearsal. Mm-hmm. If I took credit for that,
I think it is a quote, but I don't know who said it either.
I just claim credit for that. It's definitely not mine, but because I grew up in dance, I'm sure I heard it somewhere. Yeah, but today's the day. And not to be a performative thing, but there's not another later time. It's only, you only get right now. Mm-hmm. The future doesn't exist yet. You're always creating it, mm-hmm. but there isn't, you don't know. So why wait until later when you could be living your life now?
Mm-hmm. I think that's what the world is kind of waking up to, is like, mm-hmm. oh, I can enjoy my life now. Today. I can live my dream now. Mm-hmm. What?
Yeah.
I don't have to wait. I don't have to put myself off. I'm worthy enough to do it now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I really think so much of this work and this kind of coaching and human design, it's like you have to feel worthy enough to even
To have the conversation, I think.
Yeah, to even have the conversation, to even kind of go there and believe that you can create more by doing less. Mm-hmm. And that, or even just like maybe not doing less, but just you can create more by doing only the things you want to do, period. Mm-hmm. Literally letting go of the rest.
Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, it's...
People don't believe that. They're like, nah, maybe for them.
Well, and that's because, yeah, I do. Yeah, I think that is I think that's what I used to believe too. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think it's easy to go there, and it's all a self-worth thing, right? Mm. If that person believed they were worthy to do whatever they wanted to as well, they wouldn't have that thought. Mm. They would be like, oh, why am I not doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it really is it's a trust thing, and it's something you have to lean into, because it's really believing that you are inherently worthy no matter what you do. We spend so much of this life, I think, trying to prove our worth.
Yeah.
By our doing.
Yeah.
And we're taught to for such a young age, right? Like, we get praise when we do good things,
mm-hmm.
right? We get money for doing chores, right? Some mm-hmm. people, it's like, how much can you do? How much praise can you get, right? Doing more at school, you get more accolades, right? Like, the more you do, the more you get. And that's just ingrained in so many ways. And so we lose that attachment we're naturally born with, that knows we're inherently worthy just because we exist. And then too, I feel like in the coaching industry, we're also taught that your income is equal to the value you've created in the world. And I think it's the same exact message. It's just slightly changed, right? The wording's slightly.
They rebranded
changed.
It.
Yeah, they just rebranded it. It sounds really good. And, you know, while there might be truth to it a little bit, I don't think that most people, when they hear that, are ready to understand it on that level. Right. Mm. I think it's more like, so I just need to create more value, which means I just need to do more. I just need to do more. I just need to do more.
Be more.
Be more. Do more. Right. Like, learn more. All the mores.
I'm already tired.
Right. I know. Seriously. That's why I burn out my first year of coaching. Yes. Like, seriously. And yeah, it's scary to just believe that your energy and who you are is enough.
I think too, for those of you who were raised religious, like I was, it was like, can I be good enough?
Yeah.
And not like good enough, but can I be good? So good that I get to earn this, whether it is earn attention, earn love, earn praise, earn
eternal life,
eternal life in heaven or hell.
Yeah.
Or am I not going to be good enough? And that means I am doomed for
forever.
And so mine was chasing being a good girl. Can I be good enough? Skilled enough? It went everywhere. So, and for a long time, I didn't resonate with the word worthy. And that's because I was using a different word.
What were you using?
Good. It was just, can I be good? Can I be nice enough? Mm-hmm. What would the good?
Well, it's like, what are you trying to prove? That's always the word, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you trying to prove to the world? Like, for me, it was that I could be successful and I wasn't a screw up. right? Mm. But that was my, I thought once I did that, I would feel worthy. I would feel whole. I would feel whatever, you know, good enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine was for sure like the hot partner and then the house. Mm-hmm. And then it was like very traditional. That's like how I was brought up. So it was, if I was good, then I could have that. And so when we look behind the curtain, that's not how it actually goes. You just can have whatever you want because you are inherently worthy. You don't have to earn it. It's not that you are worthy or that you're not. You just are. It's just totally outside of it. But for so long, it felt like I was over here like, excuse me, I'm playing with this Rubik's Cube of worthy or not. Mm. And so I'll spend all my time over here instead of being like, look at my life.
Mm.
Wow, it's beautiful. I don't have to earn anything. I just get to have it because I am alive.
Mm-hmm.
I just get to enjoy the sunshine on a 2 p.m. Monday at 2 p.m. I don't have to wait until I'm off the clock to go out and enjoy it. I just get to go outside.
Yeah, and I think that's where guilt comes in, right? Is like we're also taught that if we aren't constantly striving and achieving, right, that we should feel guilty. We should feel guilty in our pleasures. Mm. Literally call them guilty pleasures,
guilty,
right?
Guilty pleasures.
So silly.
it really is.
Like,
there's no pleasure in guilty pleasures.
Seriously. And so it's like, even if you think about, okay, maybe I am inherently worthy enough to just do whatever I want this afternoon, can I even face the guilt that comes with it? Right? The guilt is what keeps you in the striving at that point. Right. Yeah. And I think that's also a learned thing.
Oh yeah.
Is the guilt. And for me, that's what I had to process to get to worthy was a lot of guilt. And you've seen me process a lot of that this year too. Right. And am I even worthy to like have needs in my relationships? Right. Like, it's deep conditioning. Right. And, that's another, I think, piece of what it takes to rest, really, really rest, is building the capacity to also feel guilt. Not that it's right, not that it's like true, not that you should even have it, but you will, right? Mm-hmm. It's just what's there because that's what you were programmed to believe about rest, right?
Can we talk about a moment in which you were feeling guilt?
Sure.
In the car. We don't have to go there, but I think it's a fun moment to just talk about.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. So we were hanging out. We were in the car and you were feeling guilt. And we were on our way to go get dinner. And I was like, I was thinking bigger picture because I was like, why is she feeling all this guilt? I know she's feeling it. And I love her and she's feeling it. Right. And I was like, but we're kind of having fun right now. And I was like, or Melanie, you could feel fun right now.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of like a nudge of saying like guilt is optional for this moment in this moment. And you get to choose something else.
Mm.
And you said something like, you said something about like not knowing that you had the option to not feel that.
Exactly. And I think that, go ahead. Go ahead.
You go ahead and talk about the
experience of that. I think that's why sometimes guilt can be so scary, is because it can make you believe and it makes you forget that there's any other option.
Yes. Like right? You have to feel guilty right now.
It's almost like the guilt absolves you from whatever sin you're committing, right? And if you let it go,
then
you really are guilty. Isn't that silly? Oh my gosh.
Then you're really bad. If you don't feel guilty.
But if you let it go, you don't even feel bad. That's so funny, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that was my realization in that moment. I totally remember now what you're talking about. And it was, we were having so much fun, and mm-hmm. I was feeling guilty for that.
I was like, or
we could just
have a lot of fun.
Remember, this is fun, and like, yeah, just not feel guilty about it. It's like, yeah, so true. And you know, it's just, it is a, I love that you brought that up too, because it is a constant remembering and mm-hmm. opening up to more, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like this work is done and one day you'll arrive and finally feel worthy. There are moments like that, right? Mm-hmm. Through it.
Especially if it's a default.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, this is just my old default pattern is like, first I feel guilty. Then I remember I don't have to feel guilty. If I'm really not doing anything that is hurting anyone, right?
Right.
This guilt isn't.
Well, so funny, right? Because it really is like, what does guilt mean? It means you've like committed a crime against themselves, right? When you really think about it. And it's like, oh yeah, no, not doing that. Not at all.
None of that happened.
Nope. Just having fun, right?
Just and having fun.
Yeah. And we I think that is like one of those beliefs kind of inside of me is like, if I'm having too much fun, that's wrong somehow. Like that is the sin.
Mm-hmm. Like, we have to equal it out with guilt.
Yeah. I shouldn't be enjoying it mm-hmm. this much because it should be hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Turns out it gets to be really fun. Mm-hmm. Life, business, vacations, car rides. Everything gets to be fun. Like a lot of fun if we want
it
to be.
And the funner it gets, the more I receive fun. The more I receive money aligned.
The more impact.
Things. Uh-huh. The more impact I get to make.
Mm-hmm. Impact you get to make. I think that's the biggest one for me is like mm-hmm. the more fun I'm having, the more people I draw in, and the more people I draw in, the more I impact their life. Mm-hmm. And the funner that is for me, because impact for me is really fun. Mm-hmm. Just like to me, business is like a love fest with people that really love you and you get to love them in a very special way. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a mentor love, it's a coach client love, but it's like, and this is why I got addicted to my business is because it's so much fun. So it's a fine line.
Yes.
But as long as you're resting, oh my gosh, you get to go on vacations and work when you're away. Mm-hmm. If you want to, you could just get to have fun with your clients. You can laugh with them. Marketing becomes a lot more fun.
You're so good at marketing. Oh my God.
Only because it's fun for me.
Well, that's the thing too, is like you're choosing the ways it is fun, right? You're not mm-hmm. making yourself do something that's not fun.
Yeah.
Right. You're not on Facebook or making posts, right? Facebook. 'Cause you wouldn't be doing that, right? You're not on LinkedIn.
No.
Doing stuff there. You're doing the one thing you love doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to be clear, like I have tried those things.
You're just enforcing yourself to
yes
show up there because and make that okay.
Yeah. Years ago, I was like, I got to be in LinkedIn. I got to be a professional. And I was like, it's like the worst efforting, willpowery thing that ends up not even lasting. You have like one post up there from like 3 years ago that you're like, oh, I hope no one sees that because I'm not logging in to go delete it.
That's funny.
Yeah. If it's not fun, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. That's how I see it is like, especially, and if it's like an idea that I'm like, oh, it's not fun yet. I'm just going to wait because I really do feel like I have an open channel to like creative ideas. Mm-hmm. And that's where the fun is. If I'm making up ideas outside of that channel of inspiration, it's usually because I saw somebody else do it. And then I thought I should do that too.
Oh, and then, not what the manifestor's here to do. Ugh.
Mm-mm. My soul is offended by it when I try to do it,
right?
And then my brain's like, we should do this because this is what other coaches are doing and they're really professional and they're really rich, so you should do it too. And then I do it for like 5 minutes and I'm like, ew, no, never doing that again.
Yeah. And I you have no energy for it, right? Mm-hmm. And I this is where I would love to bring up sustainability, because I feel like what we, or at least I say we, what I was taught, especially in first growing my business, was like sustainability had nothing to do with it. It was literally put as much as you can into it, as many hours as it takes, whatever it takes to get to 100K. Once you're there, then you can think about maybe a little bit of like wiggle room, but you hustle to 100K and that's all you do, right? And and I mean, I totally bought into it because that's what I wanted. And, you know, I went there. I'm not blaming anybody at all, but I really think that with that, there is no sustainability, right? It's like you can get to 100K and then you're so burnt out, you can't move, especially non-sacral beings like you. And it's, but it doesn't matter. You could be a generator too and still burn out if you're using your energy in the wrong way. But I mean, sustainability is literally the whole direction our world is moving in. It's like, are we creating, are we living, are we existing in a way that will have space for us in the future, right? And so the more sustainable we can get in creating our businesses, I think the more sustainability we bring into everything in the world. And I think to build that way, we need all those pieces we talked about, like feeling worthy of it, right? Of creating something that's sustainable, trusting yourself enough to create in a way that is sustainable, so you don't have to quit in a year.
Yeah. Can we talk about ways that people can access that kind of mindset? Because I think in our world, it's so foreign to talk about what we're talking about right now. And it's only reserved for like the uber privileged, already rich people. And so I want to talk about like ways in which that becomes your new normal. Because I definitely had to go find people that I was like, wait, I'm not that far. Or their reality is not that far from my reality. So if they're doing it like that, that probably means I can start living my life.
Well,
like
and
that.
I think what I had to walk through to get to this place was feeling really irresponsible. I had to like wash away the feeling that the way that I wanted to live my life wasn't responsible, because I definitely wasn't in this place of being super duper privileged. I mean, I know I have privilege, absolutely, you know, but I've also been in a lot of really tight spots too. And it's not like I have a ton of wealth, right? I've just built a lot of trust, but like I have had to really process through so much. Oh, it's way too irresponsible. I can't do it that way. If I'm not spending my money in this one way, if I'm not saving my money in this one way, right? If I'm not following this hustle culture, that's completely irresponsible of me. Right. And so I had to really look into that story and process all of those feelings, you know, in my body and make it okay to have my value system with sustainability as one of the number ones. And sustainability for me was processing trauma and breaking these generational things is like where my money's going to go right now. You know, I'm not going
to. How did you find the resources to open all that up for you?
Well, I mean, if I'm being really honest, I just wasn't saving money. I wasn't saving. I wasn't investing. I definitely wasn't putting my money in places that a lot of people do. I was putting my money towards different places. Right. But
how did you go and find other people, other tools that help you build that trust?
Those resources. Straight to money. How did I find what?
Because I'm thinking, how did you find the resources to know? I guess the question is, how did you know there was something different out there than like just hustle your way?
Well, I didn't. I burnt out.
So
and I was kind of forced.
Experimentally.
And I think.
Experientially.
I mean, I think anybody here listening to us today has this curiosity, has this inner knowing, has this deep intuition that's pulling them towards this. I don't know if anybody really knows what they're looking for till they stumble on it. Mm. And they're like, oh, that's it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's also why I've helped a lot of my clients understand that it doesn't really matter if you're super clear yet what you offer either. Like, just go start talking about it. Just talk about it. Mm. Like, if you're like, yeah, but like, well, like my clients won't find me. It's like, yes, they will. They will literally stumble upon you and be like, this is exactly what I needed, because they don't know what they're looking for either. They just are being pulled towards you. Yes. With your energy, and they know what they need energetically. There are no words for it right now. Mm-hmm. And this is an interesting conversation, because that's kind of what it was like for me. I didn't have words. All I had was this feeling inside of me that like, this is wrong. I can no longer mm-hmm. keep subscribing to this system. I don't know what else is out there. I don't know what else could be possible, but I'm willing to lean in mm-hmm. and at least look into other things, mm-hmm. just be open to finding it. Right. And, probably like anybody, it's like somebody told me about something and I went and looked at it. Right. Or found somebody this way, or, you know, just decided that, you know, this person knew what they were talking about. At least I thought they did. Right. And started listening. And then that really helped me open up and listen to me. You know, and that's how I found human design, and human design is really what opened it up for me. And like, oh, there is all these different ways. What? Mm-hmm. Yes. We all have our own way. Look at that. Yeah.
We all have our own way. And mm-hmm. it's so unique. Like the fact that we all have our own fingerprint, mm-hmm. I think is so just reflective of like, we all have our own way. There's no one who is you. So you go out and be you. Somebody will find you, and you will be like the thing that they've been waiting to find all this time. Mm-hmm. And I just want to reflect back that like, it starts with like an inherent desire. That people are looking for something that this can't be right. I need to go look for something mm-hmm. else, or I'm going to just Google this, or I'm going to search in my podcast this thing and see what comes up. Mm-hmm. And you go finding a person that you really like, and then they're going to talk about a book they read, and then you go read that book, and then you go follow that hashtag, and that hashtag mm-hmm. leads you to something else. And it's just essential that you are just showing up and being who you are for people to find you. Mm-hmm. Audience, if you're listening to this, you're listening to me and Melanie, and we're telling you, go be you online so that people can find you. Otherwise, if you're too scared in your mind and you're all living up here thinking about what other people are doing, you're not going to be you. Mm-hmm. People might find your page and be like, eh, that's not it. That's almost it. When really, if you were just wearing your brightest color pink lipstick.
Well, and like, and I talk to a lot of people too. It's like, I think you mainly help people show up online, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But like, you don't even have to show up online. You can just show up in your life. You can just show up to your kids, you know, basketball practice wearing your brightest pink lipstick, and whoever will be there. Like, you can just show up on your podcast and be unapologetically you. Like, there's, I mean, just everywhere in your life. It doesn't really matter where you start or where you show up. It's just that you do, right? And mm-hmm. I think today we literally spelled out how you do it.
Yeah.
And how you do it is really, it's not necessarily learning how to be you. It's like learning how to be what you're not. It's learning how to let go Ooh. Of what you're not anymore, what you have outgrown, what you are. No, like, it's like cleaning out your closet. It's like, oh my God. It's like all of a sudden one day you look in and you're like, why is there all this crap in here that it feels awful when I put it on, but I keep putting it on. It's like, how do I get rid of this stuff? Mm-hmm. Right. It's felt safe, but now it's like suffocating me. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that's how you do it. And honestly, like, it doesn't really even take you or me for them to be able to do it. Mm-hmm. Although it helps a lot to have that guide and that person to hold space for you. But you can definitely start doing it today. I know I did a lot of it before mm-hmm. I ever even found human design. or anything, but man, you really can do it so much faster and with so much more ease, I think.
Yeah.
A lot less suffering without knowing why you're suffering.
Yes.
We have a mentor to be like, yeah,
it's this thing right here. Like, stop wearing, like, if we take your same analogy of like the closet, it's like, stop wearing itchy sweaters.
Yeah.
You know why you're itchy? Because this fabric is itchy. So stop wearing them. Having a coach tell you that can be like the
perfect
thing.
You're just like, oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
Because you're like, this is normal. Sweaters are supposed to be itchy until you get somebody that tells you, you're allergic to that fabric. You can't wear that.
Somebody's like, you know what? You don't have to feel guilt. You can feel fun. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. I totally agree. I love mentorship so much. It's like I was telling you earlier, I take everything and I'm like, highlight, implement today. And you really can't go so far when you have a mentor showing you what's happening, showing you why things aren't working, or help lead you to or just being really around them, experiencing somebody else's life can show you what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh shit, I didn't know you can have that much fun on a Wednesday. I didn't know you can sleep in the middle of the day because you're tired. You could do that. Like, just being around people that do that stuff for me created my new normal.
Yeah.
I'm so surrounded now that, like, thinking about people's life who are not in this like tiny like microcosm of like the people I choose to surround myself with, I'm like, what? Why would you work that much? Why? Aren't you tired? It's like so foreign to me now that I'm just so grateful that I did follow that scent for me. I was like, there has to be another way. I remember, like, you know, in high school, everybody's like, what do you want to be? What are you going to do? What are you going to major in? What are you going to do next? Right. And I was always just like, I don't know. How the hell would I know?
Right.
And I was in college undeclared for like 3 years. I kept getting notices like, you have to declare your major now. And I was like, I kept taking classes that I thought were fun. Ultimately, I did know what I wanted. I was just scared. Mm-hmm. And I just, that moment was so big for me when I decided to, like, I'm going to do photography because that's fun. I don't have to earn it. I don't have to ask permission. I'm just going to do it. And that was like such a huge moment for me. And I knew, like, I don't want to work in a place where there's fluorescent lights. I just have worked at places with fluorescent lights. And I was like, I can't do this for more. I can't do this more than part time. And I know my career time is coming up. So I really just decided to be an entrepreneur because my soul was like, I'm not doing the other thing. I don't want to do the other thing that everyone's doing just because they say that that's the way. There's got to be another way. And when you think that, there is one.
Exactly. And I think
there is another way.
That's how people find it. That's how they find what they need is that first thought. There's got to be a different way than this. Right.
And they go looking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And you keep finding it. You keep finding more and more and more of what you're ready for. It's like the, when you're ready, the teacher appears. What's the quote?
Something like that. I mean, and you are your best teacher, right? And
yeah.
Yeah. Just learning about you and what you want. So yeah. Important.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's always the perfect time too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, okay. What else do you want people to know? Is there anything you want to, like, anything you're dying to tell them about human design? Or we've had a great conversation today. Seriously. But
I know. Okay. When you know yourself, I'm like, let me get on my soapbox. Hold on.
I love it.
When you know yourself really well, whether that is through human design or any other kind of structure that helps you understand yourself, when you really know yourself and have felt into who you are today, and we are always growing and evolving, of course. So it's like, who do you know yourself to be today? And you start being that person, you not only feel better and expand who you are, but you also expand other people. Because they are walking by you and they're thinking, oh my God, I didn't know you could wear a giant pink coat in Los Angeles where it's 70 degrees. And I'm like, I'm doing it and I'm okay. And it's so fun. You be you online, you embody who you are, and you ultimately set other people free.
Hmm.
And I think that's the funnest part about marketing is like you be your silliest, weirdest. You could also talk about serious things, but you be you online and you start to call in those people that also want more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels so fun when you love all your clients and you're showing up to calls like, oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to coach her today. She just was so perfect. I love her. And they could be a crying hot mess and you could be like, I love holding space for you. Tell me more. And the hour flies by or however long your sessions are, that can be your life. You can make money that way. And I just want people to know that. It's like,
you, I know.
You, like, last we had a trip together, me and Melanie, and I was just like, I love our life.
I know, right?
Because you're like, I love being a coach. And it was just this moment of like, I get paid for this. Oh my God, it's so fun. And I just want more people to know that is you can do what you want and get paid for it.
Yes.
But you have to really know yourself first, and knowing thyself is the fastest way to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's a race, but knowing yourself is always going to pay off in your relationships, in your business, in all of it.
So good.
All How right, about well, you?
Me? Oh, I mean, that was really good. what else? I mean, and for anybody who's thinking that maybe you have no idea where to start on how to get to know yourself, or that it feels like impossible to find out, or like, because I know I used to work with a lot of moms, and I still do, but it's like you've been disconnected from yourself for so long that it feels impossible to know what you would even find fun again.
Mm-hmm.
That just believing that it's possible to tap in is really the first step. Is just, you know, you can go back to your childhood and be like, what was fun then? Maybe mm-hmm. I can try something out. Or it's really just as simple as being like, what's the first thing I want to just let go of that I hate doing? That's the first step. You don't have to know who you are. You just have to know what you don't want anymore.
Mm.
And almost everybody knows that. At least one thing they don't want anymore. Probably 10,000 things they don't want anymore. Or want to say yes to anymore. It's really as easy as that. It's just pointing those things out and being willing to just love on yourself as those realizations come. And just learn that it's okay. It's okay to want to say no. It's okay to not want to do certain things anymore. And that's actually the gift to freedom, is knowing what you don't want. So just the flip side of that,
huge.
I guess.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you don't want is just as important as what you do want. Mm-hmm. I think we kind of discredit that one. And I think that's a really great point.
And you usually have access to it first, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Holly.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Tell everybody how to find you, what you're up to, all the things.
Okay, so you can find me at coachwithholly.com. On Instagram, it's coach.with.holly.
You have to find her on Instagram. It's
I have way too much fun on there.
Seriously,
so go follow me over there.
I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Fun with
so,
me.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Right now, I'm offering a workshop. It's 90 minutes to make your offer really juicy. The workshop is called An Offer That Sells Itself. So if selling feels hard to you, it's because you're not obsessed with your offer. And when you feel super obsessed with your offer, it's so easy to talk about and sell it. It's just like you're juiced up about it and your clients will be too. So if you are madly, deeply drunk in love with your offer and aren't blabbering about it everywhere, come to this workshop. I will help you. It's going to be 90 minutes and it's December 9th, 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Awesome. So good. That's going to be so good.
Thank you so much for having me. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it. It's so much fun.
Thanks, Holly.
Hey, Melly. Bye.
you're ready to have not just a coach, but a guide that will help you go deep, fast into yourself, hold this container of co-creation and collaboration so you can discover your own innate magic and wisdom, I want to invite you into my 3-month human design deep dive with me. It's where your ego gets to meet your soul and they can finally stop fighting with each other so you can do what you came here to do in this 3D world. Integrate, synergize, and use your gifts with confidence and power. Schedule a free connection call at the link in the description of this podcast, or go message me on Instagram or Facebook. The sooner you can stop fighting with yourself, the sooner you get to share your magic with the world. This is going to create ease, flow, fun, and money in your life. Everyone wins. I can't wait to see you soon.